This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and very good late afternoon over at my end in Asia.
And we've started the week, Kelvin, with a very marked oil price fall. Shares have risen. This must be down to the fact that the US and Iran have now said they've agreed what they're calling a framework deal to end the war, which would see the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. And these prices we're seeing, these oil prices we're seeing now, Kelvin, we haven't seen such a low number since before the war started.
Yes, precisely. So with this dramatic gap down in oil price and also gapping down below a key medium-term range support that I'm watching, which is the West Texas crude oil previously at $85.50 per barrel. So this level has been holding pretty firmly since 24th of March. And with this this morning Asia session dramatic gap down due to the optimism bailout of this potential reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, if everything works out well, this coming Friday, where this interim peace deal will put into an official document, market seems to be pricing in such a scenario where oil prices could now start to be much more of a softer tone over here. So with this bearish breakdown of $85.50 per barrel, now trading at around $81.20 on the West Texas oil. And we also see also a similar dramatic breakdown on the Brent crude as well, where Brent crude is now down by almost negative 4% or so, trading at $83 per barrel. So for the West Texas crude oil, sentiments right now have started to turn bearish. So market is now looking for the next levels to come in at around $75 per barrel / $71.30 per barrel. So that is pretty much close to the level initially seen during the start of this US-Iran conflict on the Monday, which is over the weekend, which is 2nd of March over here. And that also pretty much come in line with the 200-day moving average. So with this softness in oil prices, for sure, the direct impact, we will start to see a tremendous risk-on appetite in today's Asia session, where the Asia-Pacific stock indices continues managed to actually see a significant risk-on rally. So basically, all in the green for the Asia-Pacific stock index. So what's interesting is the Nikkei 225 has broken above a fresh all-time high today. So for the very first time, it traded back above the above the 69K psychological per barrel, ended the session at with a 5% gain at 69,317. And also, as we are speaking right now, both the S&P 500 E-mini futures and the NASDAQ 100 E-mini futures are up by 2% and 3% each, almost erasing the 90% of the losses that has taken shape 2 weeks ago since their current all-time high printed on 2nd of June.
Very interesting, Kelvin. And I'm wondering, actually, as we've seen time and again over the last few weeks, there's been so much uncertainty and volatility for the oil market. We're not really out of the woods yet, are we? Because there's a distinct lack of detail in what has been agreed in this framework to end the war. And that, I would imagine, is likely to inject unease and uncertainty through the week in markets.
Precisely. So there's a lot of things that we do not know. I'll name it as the OPEC details and the hidden risks. Number one, there's no release of the text what's being agreed on over here. So prior to this interim so-called peace deal that was being proudly announced by Trump over just about 6 to 7 hours ago, early Asia session, previously in the media, there was reported that this peace deal is more like a sequential deal. That means, i.e., if both sides agree to certain terms and conditions, they decided to actually do whatever that is being taken on. Let's say, for example, if Iran has kind of managed to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, US will start to come in to give a bit of carrot by unfreezing various frozen / sanction funds for Iran. But however, if things doesn't go well, US could actually decide to actually block the Strait of Hormuz again And that could go back to that kind of tit-for-tat measures over here. So with this kind of sequential peace deal agreement, not kind of a very firm up agreement, things could go south, I would say. And also what we do not know over here is the toll dispute. So we know that one of the sticking points where the Iranians refuse to actually sign whatever peace deal agreement that Trump's in the last 3 weeks has always deemed that it's almost a big truth, things are going, a peace deal is about to sign soon, is because of who will control the Strait of Hormuz in terms of, I would say, the management of the Strait of Hormuz. So previously, from the Iran's leadership point of view, they still wanted to have some form of control over the Strait of Hormuz, and with the intention of charging kind of fees and or transaction fees for vessels that's passed through it. But from the US side point of view, they want to have a totally free movement in the Strait of Hormuz. So that is definitely in line with what US, we call it a stick, we call it priority, given the fact that they wanted energy prices or gasoline prices to come down from here, given the fact that the masses in the US are getting rather uneasy over higher cost of living due to higher energy prices or higher gasoline prices. And we also have the Israel wildcard over here. So we know that Israel is not involved in the interim peace deal that is being agreed upon yesterday between US and Iran. And in fact, just a while ago, the Israel leadership has said that they have no part in this US-Iran peace deal legitimacy, and they are looked to actually may or highly possible to continue to actually launch attacks on Lebanon's Hezbollah, which is the longtime ally of Iran, due to the terrorist risk that Hezbollah has on Israel. So if Israel does not back down and continues to attack Lebanon or Hezbollah, which is the long-term ally of Israel, of Iran, and Iran previously in the past has stated to US that in order for whatever peace deal that they have with between US and Iran, it got to involve Lebanon / Hezbollah. So that is a really, really a balancing act that markets got to actually be mindful of. Especially this interim peace deal will only officially be signed on Friday. So anything could happen from now and Friday.
Indeed. But you would imagine President Trump and his administration will be particularly keen to get this signed off, bearing in mind, apart from the geopolitical stuff that's been going on, we've got a 250th anniversary celebration coming up for the United States. You've got the Football World Cup. These maybe to some people look like side issues, but these things are important to Trump, aren't they?
Precisely. And do not forget that he wants it to be a very glamorous occasion to get this peace deal done, especially with the World Cup finals that's being played on US soil. And do not forget yesterday the announcement of this interim peace deal by himself over social media tied in with his birthday, which was yesterday.
I want to ask you about the week to come. We've got the FOMC on Wednesday. We're also going to hear from the Bank of England as well, Kelvin.
Yes, precisely. So this week will be a bonza of a central bank's meeting, but all eyes for sure will be on the FOMC, given that it's now right under the new leadership of Kevin Warsh over here. So this will be his maiden press conference as well, and will also be his maiden release of the latest Fed dot plot, which is very important. So what market participants has penciled in is a no Fed cut or Fed hike this time round. So market is expecting for the Fed to stand pat at 3.5% to 3.75% for the Fed funds rates. But however, all eyes and ears will be on the press conference, and before that will be the release of the latest Fed dot plot. So this latest Fed dot plot, in the previous one under Fed Chair Powell that was released in March, projected one interest rate cut to come in 2026, all right? So at that point, and another interest rate cut to be penciled in 2027. So market is looking for 50 basis point cut, approximately. But however, given what has taken shape from March until now, things have started to change, and the Fed Funds futures market has now starts to totally erase off these interest rate cuts, but instead starts to price in a interest rate hike instead. So based on what has taken shape over the weekend, which with this interim peace deal coming into play, but however, with this unknown hidden risk, which we highlighted earlier, especially the Israel wildcard market in the Fed Funds futures market, has continued to price in a high chance of at least one interest rate hike, not cut, to come in on the last meeting of this year, which is the December the 9th. So that is currently standing in a chance, about 67% chance, which is quite high, all right, to bring the Fed Funds rate higher to 3.75% to 4%. But so far, the second interest rate hike has starts, the odds, the high odds have starts to evaporate. Only 11% chance right now. Market is looking for it to come in at April and June next year. Previously, before the announcement of the interim peace deal, that was almost a chance of almost as high as what, 50% to 60% chance over here, due to that remarks being made by Trump saying that the US will potentially hit Iran hard due to them dragging on their feet to actually agree to any peace deal, interim peace deal. That was the situation last week. So, however, things is still fluid right now, like I mentioned. And also, we also got to hear for the very first time, Kelvin Walsh's view on the markets, Kelvin Walsh's view on the economic situation in the US, because he has not spoken his view for a very, very long time. So market will be paying very close attention to that. So if he starts to sound rather hawkish, and even the dot plot starts to pencil in a 2 interest rate hike this time around, all right, one coming in at the end of the year and one coming in 2027 or even in 2028, that could actually turn the dial on the markets again, potentially creating a rally in the US 2-year treasury yield. So that could actually see a bit of profit taking, especially on risk asset classes like the current rally that's being seen on the US stock indices futures, which is the NASDAQ 100 E-mini futures and the S&P 500 E-mini futures.
Excellent, Kelvin. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.